In a universe that almost is, just out of reach beyond the edge of reality, mysterious forces underlie the fabric of existence. Energemetra 6, the very energy of creation, serves as both the elixir of life and the arsenal of destruction for its human and not-so-human denizens.
Crushing darkness, whose source they cannot fathom, grips the cosmos and its people. In anguish, they dream of the long-foretold bright star.
Join us as we embark on an epic journey, exploring the universe of Energemetra 6.
And we're live, and this is the Energemetra 6 podcast, episode 9. And we're going to be going over Bright Star, Chapter 8, provided my voice holds okay. I have a cold this week, and we'll see. I wouldn't do professional recording this way, but we'll see if this works out.
Hopefully so.
The Energemetra 6 podcast operates on a value-for-value model. That means that we hope if we provide some value to you in your life, that you'll return that to us in whatever way you can manage. If you're interested, head over to e6universe.com and sign up for our email list to get our free ebooks, and hopefully buy a physical book or some merch while you're there. Or if all you can manage right now is to leave us a good review somewhere, 5 stars or some kind of positive rating, that's more than appreciated. Thank you. All right. And with that, let's get started. Bright Star, Chapter 8.
Power is by far the most potent of all opiates, especially to the powerful. The Auguries Collected, Volume 12.
The short walk to the Great Tower was surprisingly refreshing. A cool breeze blew across the telestry, and Nate focused on the sensation of air caressing his skin. He considered reaching out to grasp Energemetra 6, but the inevitable confrontation he was walking into pressed down on him. Best get it over with. It seemed like only a moment later that he approached the Great Tower, stretching impossibly high above him, dwarfing the rest of the telestry and making him feel like an insect beneath its shadow. When Nate stepped through the tower's great doors, his awareness of his own insignificance intensified. The interior was the grandest, most elegant room he had ever seen, with dark wood paneling looming 3 stories above his head, highlighted with silver trim that almost seemed to glow in a dim, directionless light. Leaving the fresh air of outside was like returning to a dungeon, but he stepped forward, his mind focused. Loredan wasn't waiting for him, of course. Instead, a junior functionary stood in attendance, as if to put a capstone on Nate's sense of his own unimportance. It took Nate a moment to recognize Kevin Radink in the gaudy black and red robes he wore. If his posture and attitude were any indication, he'd been waiting for some time. The impression was reinforced by some object Kevin was twisting back and forth in his hands. When Nate entered, Kevin startled and blinked at him, then grinned, tucking the object in his pocket. Nate nodded briefly to him. "I'm here to see Telestic Loredan." Belatedly, Kevin bowed and nodded in return. His formal act was spoiled by his grin as he said, "I knew it was you, Bright Star. Eh? Had to be you. Come on, this way." As they climbed the first stairway toward the top of the Great Tower, Kevin gave Nate a knowing look. "Macked you, didn't they?" Nate frowned at him. "Macked?" Kevin grinned. "Yeah." He motioned toward Nate's neck and shoulder. "You didn't have that last time." Nate snorted. "She didn't even ask permission." Kevin nodded knowingly and shrugged, continuing the climb. The trek to Loredan's chambers was a long one, down halls that played on the same aesthetic themes as the Great Tower's entry hall. They ascended flight after flight of stairs, each stairwell resplendent with carved relief. When they finally emerged, Kievan took his place, standing next to the wall outside the open archway, and gave Nate a wink, already pulling his fidget toy out of his pocket. Beyond was a large chamber, even more lavish than the rest of the building's interior, with a balcony that overlooked the central square of the telestry. Here, the walls were hung with tapestries that depicted scenes from telestry history, mostly obscuring walls inlaid with ornate lettering that obviously told the stories the tapestries so grandly illustrated. An intricate carving of Malleus, accented with gold and silver inlays, dominated the vault above and behind the place of honor, with a great inscription carved into the wall below it. "Twist not the purposes of the Lightmaker to your own ends, or in that day he will leave no stone of the telestry standing." Loredan sat in a chair that was so ornate it might as well have been a throne. The robes of the chief counselor were almost gaudy, their brilliant white cloth graced with bands of color fading into one another, the six primary shades of Energemetra VI made preeminent among them. Loredan's night-black hair and widow's peak contrasted sharply with his attire, leaving an imposing impression. As Nate stepped inside the door, Loredan rose from his seat, smiling, and extended a hand toward Nate.
"Brightstar, welcome!"
Nate frowned at Loredan, preparing himself. He'd spent the last 3 weeks trying to decide what to say when this moment came, but every time he composed something he thought was appropriate, he sensed that he'd missed crucial details. In the end, he decided his best approach was simply to take it as it came and trust the Lightmaker to inspire him. So instead of stepping forward to speak, he waited. Loredan rose from his not-quite throne, reaching to the chain around his neck, from which hung the Sigil of Mysteries that Nate had been given by the Keeper. He removed it, pulling the chain carefully over his head and offering it to Nate in one outstretched hand. Nate walked forward to take it, momentarily surprised that Loredan had returned it voluntarily. Most of his imaginary exchanges with the Telestic had involved him demanding it, or taking it back by force. His thoughts must have shown on his face because Loredan smiled a bit whimsically and asked,
"What? Did you think I was just going to keep it?"
He gave Nate an ironic smile.
"It's obviously locked to you. I certainly can't use it. Oh, I suppose the Sigil of Mysteries is tempting for its own sake. The Keeper is as much an institution as the Telestry. His sigil is legendary. It did serve me well once or twice while you were under our care, but it belongs to you. It's not mine to keep."
Nate stared at him warily. "You're right about that, at least." Loredan's eyes narrowed.
"Tell me, how is it locked to you? Artifacts such as that are some of the rarest phenomena in the galaxy. The Telestry itself owns only a handful, and none as capable as the Sigil. I understand it was made by Paul Kasizia himself."
Nate settled the Sigil around his neck, where it might again begin to glow. Then said, "It's imprinted to a schemic." Loredan nodded thoughtfully.
"Yes, I can see how that might work. Very clever. Part of Cassizia's original making, I suppose. I guess you wouldn't be willing to share the schemic?"
Loredan walked to the edge of the balcony that overlooked the plaza below and turned to raise an eyebrow at Nate. Following Loredan, then stopping to lean against the wall, Nate smiled whimsically. "You should ask the Keeper. He was the one who imprinted me. I don't have that key."
Loredan snorted ironically.
"Yes, I'm sure he'd love to share it with me."
Then his eyes lit up.
"There is a schemic imprinted on this place as well."
He motioned to a pedestal in the form of a many-tiered fountain that stood on the balcony, then walked over and placed his hands against the carving of flowing water that embellished its top.
"If you channel the proper flow of Energemetra VI into the pedestal, the schemic it taps will refresh you. It even stays with you for a time. I'm coming to the conclusion that this is how chief counselors often live to great age compared to other energemetrists.
Loredan took his hands off the fountain and looked sideways at Nate.
The ideographies say the bright star will defy the corruption of entropy. If you are the bright star, perhaps this would fulfill the prophecy. Do you care to try?
Despite what the Keeper had told them about the great schemic, for a moment Nate was sorely tempted. The time he'd spent with no contact with the fields had left him exhausted beyond anything he'd thought possible. He still felt as wrung out as a not particularly lively patch of white wall hanging, standing next to the ornate wall at the edge of the balcony. Then he remembered the Keeper's caution, and his lips twisted into a grimace. It took a tremendous effort just to clear his mind of the thought of grasping Energemetra 6 again. After a long moment, Nate smiled dryly. The Keeper told me one of your ideographies. Do not be entangled by the web of schemix. He said it came from Paul Kassizia. Seems like good advice. Loredan looked vaguely affronted, but he nodded.
I have to confess, he said. Until you came back from Malak wearing that,
he pointed to the gem now hanging in around Nate's neck.
I didn't believe you were the bright star at all.
He gave Nate an intense look.
The Keeper would never relinquish the power of the sigil if you weren't, though, would he?
Loredan frowned, then said,
I'm afraid I find myself in the awkward position of having to ask. Do you really know how to use Energemetra 6? I know we've been less than helpful in that regard. I was told the Board of Governors forbade you to even grasp it while you were here.
I was not in a position to countermand them at the time, but I wouldn't have blamed you if you ignored their orders. Nate just looked at Loredan without speaking, wondering where he was going with his line of reasoning. Loredan looked at him intensely for a moment, then he asked,
Would you be willing to give me a demonstration?
Nate eyed him doubtfully. What did you have in mind? Loredan's eyes brightened a bit, and he seemed almost excited when he said,
If I were to jump off this balcony, I could slow my fall, but without killing myself from entropic shock, it wouldn't be enough to keep me from impacting at nearly full force. I wouldn't be able to reduce my velocity by more than 20% or 30%. We tested it the year before I graduated from the Aqualucum with a catch field at the bottom. It took 6 of us to catch another without overexerting. I would be most intrigued to see what happens if you do the same. Even the Wild Man said the Bright Star would subvert the tenets. If you are the Bright Star, could you break the 10th tenet?
Loredan's voice had risen in pitch and volume as he spoke. The prospect of breaking what he obviously thought of as one of the laws of the universe seemed to enchant him. Nate shook his head. I can't see how externalizing entropy into the air would break the tenets. He paused and raised an eyebrow at Loredan, remembering the conversation he'd had at lunch with Ty when he first came to the Aqualucum, then quoted,
Without machination, without intent, his task subversion of the highest laws, yet through subversion to complete and perfect. That's the prophecy you're talking about?
Nate thought for a moment, then shook his head again.
You want me to try jumping out of a tower as a gimmick? You think you can game the prophecies to prove I'm the Bright Star?
I don't play games, Loredan. What is it you really want? Loredan actually looked disappointed for a moment. Then he shrugged and turned away from the balcony, walking back toward his seat. As he walked, he started speaking again.
As you wish. I told you on the way to the Telestry that we have been under the tyranny of the Dominion for over a century. I told you what they've cost us, and the degradation we suffer in the name of peace. What I ask is your help. Help me to free the Telestry. Together we could rule the galaxy and do away with this cruelty. If you do not trust me to rule, then do so yourself. If you are the Bright Star, do the ideographies not say you will take dominion over the universe? The tenets themselves demand balance. Is it not your purpose to restore that balance? I will be the first to lend my support.
Nate stared at Loredan for a long moment, exhaustion dulling his thoughts. If he was the bright star, wasn't that why he was here? He hadn't thought it would be so simple. As Nate looked up toward the ceiling in thought, his eyes caught the inscription below the likeness of Malleus above Loredan's head. Nate asked slowly, "So, what you want is to set the Telestry, with me at its head, and you as my chief counselor, to rule the Dominion? You would give me pride of place so the Telestry can be the most powerful force in the galaxy."
Loredan looked surprised. "Of course, why else would the Bright Star be here if not to restore justice for us?"
Nate stared into space for a moment, then he said, "You used me to solidify your own position here. You even made use of the sigil to give yourself an air of authority."
Loredan seemed even more surprised. "But of course, why else did you agree to stay if not for that?"
He looked at Nate as if he didn't understand what was going on.
"Are you suggesting I should have done differently?"
Nate looked him directly in the eye and pointed at the inscription above his head. "Twist not the purposes of the Lightmaker to your own ends, or in that day he will leave no stone of the Telestry standing. I can work with others, but I don't partner with people who use others for their own ends."
Loredan snorted. "You may or may not be the Bright Star, but you are certainly a naive child. The prophecies are clear. The purpose of the Lightmaker and Bright Star alike is the elevation of the Telestry. You have no experience with power. Everyone is a tool to be used by others, me as much as anyone else. I'm offering myself for your use, no less."
Nate shook his head slowly. "Even the Lightmaker, with all the power in the universe, doesn't play chess with living people." After he'd spoken, Nate just looked at Loredan for a long time. Loredan's world was defined entirely by power dynamics. Everything was shaped by who held power and how it could be used. As Nate stared, he saw Loredan's lips twist in contempt, and he seemed about to speak. Then his face went rigid. Nate was struck with a sudden jolt of unreasoning fear as Loredan's pupils elongated. The hair on the back of Nate's neck stood on end, and he realized he might as well have been staring into the eyes of a serpent. Then it spoke in a voice impossibly deep, and even rougher than Loredan's, though it used his vocal cords.
"Bright Star you are, but what else, I wonder?"
In the silence following those words, Nate said nothing. Terror made his hands tremble, but he stood his ground. Lightmaker, what now? No answer came this time, and Nate felt more terribly, unspeakably alone than he had ever been in his life. As the silence lingered, the slitted eyes changed, slowly returning to their normal human roundness. Loredan scowled at him ferociously, but Nate took a deep breath, relaxing slowly. Somehow, Loredan's scowl was far less frightening than those terrible eyes had been. Impatiently, Loredan asked,
"Well, what then? What do you want of me?"
Nate took another breath. It was as if Loredan didn't even realize what had just happened. Nate looked Loredan in the eye and shook his head once more, sharply. "The real question is whether I dare leave the situation here the way it is now. You took advantage. I bear some responsibility for that, and for whatever you do next."
Loredan laughed.
"What will you do? Will you kill me right here? Will you take control of the Telestry yourself?"
He shook his own head with real amusement, bordering on contempt.
"Without my help, you have no leverage here, other than the raw power you can exert. The strongest Telestics in the galaxy sit on the floors below us. If you kill me now, if you could kill me, they would see it as an attack on the Telestry. Will you kill us all?"
Loredan paused, shaking his head disdainfully.
Not all power is rooted in Energemetra 6, boy.
Nate frowned.
Loredan was right, of course.
Loredan continued.
I do owe you something for your assistance, passive as it was. Let me offer a bit of information as repayment. I was contacted by Stratograve Rectus. Void consume him. It seems the Keeper has been taken prisoner by the Dominion. Rectus has adjudged the Keeper guilty of sedition. I suspect that to be an excuse because the Keeper was unwilling to give up the Kassizias, but he has been rather outspoken in his criticism of the Dominion's use of the fields in the past.
Loredan's lips twisted.
He seems to lack the political sensitivity to know what he can say while retaining his own freedom of action. There is a reason the Telestry is disassociated from him over the centuries, you know. As well run afoul of the Brotherhood as the Dominion.
Nate's frown deepened, and he smiled his own twisted smile. So what you're saying is that I can help the Telestry ascend, or I can help the Keeper. Either way, I benefit you. Loredan gave Nate the closest thing to a genuine smile Nate had ever seen from him, with the humor of the situation obviously pleasing to him.
We are natural allies. If you will not join me, perhaps I can offer you the use of a ship? Under your sole command, of course.
Nate shook his head, decisively this time, finally reaching a conclusion. I don't think so. But I am taking Tyler Wrighton with me when I leave.
Loredan's eyebrows rose, and he shrugged. The other odd. Interesting. As you wish. You take Wrighton, and I will consider our debt settled then.
Loredan paused, probably for effect, Nate thought, then continued.
I warn you, if you reject alliance now, it may not be on offer when the time comes that you need it.
Nate nodded once, then turned and strode out of the room without offering Loredan a farewell. Keevan was still there, slouching against the wall outside of Loredan's chamber, obviously trying to listen without looking like he was listening. His hands were busy again with the strange toy he'd been playing with when Nate first entered the tower. He squawked in protest as Nate strode past to begin his descent, hurrying to catch up and looking like nothing so much as a giant scrap of fabric tumbling along in Nate's wake as he descended the stairs toward the exit. When Nate left the tower, headed for the Akrolucum, Keevan stopped at the tower's great door, staring after Nate with his mouth hanging open. It was a short trip back across the plaza to the Akrolucum. It was just as well. Something was telling Nate that he'd failed somehow in this exchange with Loredan. He couldn't see how. But the feeling dogged him as he once more entered the Akrolucum. Nate found the proctor waiting for him in the entry hall, Ty trailing behind her with a backpack on his back that looked far too large for him. Ty grinned and gave Nate a thumbs up from behind her back. Nate and the proctor faced each other before the kiosk in the center of the room, and he smiled at her. Thank you, Madam Proctor. She nodded jerkily.
Well, best be off.
She suited action to words and turned back to re-enter the Akrolucum proper. With Ty beside him, Nate headed for the exit, and they walked out of the Akrolucum for what Nate hoped would be his last time, after a stay that felt as if it had lasted far longer than a month. The Energemetra 6 podcast is made possible by North Arrow Coffee. North Arrow Coffee is the pro-life coffee company where 15% of every purchase goes to support organizations like Crisis Pregnancy Centers, whose purpose is to support women in the most difficult situation of their lives. If you're interested, head over to northarrowcoffee.co and use promo code E6 to get 10% off with your order.
The advertisements featured did not necessarily represent my endorsements or views.
And that pretty much concludes what I was hoping to do today. I do see we have at least a couple of people watching us live, and that's pretty cool.
Exciting.
I haven't seen anybody in the chat. Yeah, I haven't seen anybody in the chat. I am trying to keep it up now in case somebody has something to say, but you know, if that is the case, I'd love to say hi to people.
Well, you did great with the congestion and everything. I couldn't tell, so I think it went really well.
Thank you. I'm glad. I did have to blow my nose there at the end, but I was able to last the whole time, and that actually I'm pretty amazed. Thank you, Lord, that worked. And Mel, I have to say, thank you for showing up for one line today. That's
absolutely
one line, but yeah. So everybody, we are continuing with part three of Bright Star next week, and I have a couple of people who I'm talking to about doing parts for us, and looking forward to all of that, and hopefully we'll catch everybody then, and hope you all have a great week, and thank you again, Mel.
Thank you.
All right, we'll catch everybody next time.